The morning speaker is Paul Kuypers.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Good morning, everybody. Our topic this morning is courtesy. And seems just as I remove one of these from my own life that a topic like this comes up to study and reminds me that there are two or three more to take care of. But what is courtesy? And how do we manifest it in our lives? Is it a thought? An attitude? A theory? Is it a suggestion or a recommendation? Is it difficult? Is it torturous to the user? I think most of us can answer these questions now, but let's look at some scripture this morning and see what a thus saith the Lord will do to answer these questions. Courtesy, as defined by Strong's, is G5391. Friendly of mind, that is, kind. A root of the word is G5384, properly dear. That is, a friend, actively fond, that is, friendly. Still as a noun, an associate or neighbor. Now, we won't get into the neighbor this morning, but that's a very important part to consider in this study that you might think about a little more on your own. Another root is G5424, to rein in or curb. And what we want to pull out of these definitions is friend or friendly, kind, and to rein in or curb. We could, if we like, take this time to discuss the nature of man and how it commands and how commands to cause it to submit to the spiritual mind can be found in even such simple things as being courteous. But that is not how we wish to focus our time this morning, at least not completely. And as somebody likes to say, in your own leisure time or something to that effect, spend a little time looking at how courtesy can appear and how things that are like courtesy can appear but are not, such as flattery and what the scripture has to say about that. Moving on. In regards to being kind or showing kindness, what does scripture say? 2 Chronicles 10 verse 7. Second Chronicles 10 verse 7, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. If thou be kind to this people. We know the outcome of this event overall, but the advice given by the men who used to advise Solomon was sound advice. Advice in accordance with scripture thus far in the plan of salvation. If the king had been a servant to the people, and let us immediately make connections to Christ washing the apostles' feet when we say that, then they would have served him forever, and it would have been kind of the king to do this for them. To serve one another in the Lord is kind. Luke 6:35. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Who are we supposed to show kindness to? Is it only those in covenant relationship? Certainly not, and I think this verse supports that. Now, the argument could be made that Christ was speaking to those in covenant, and certainly this is true also. But that doesn't mean that it should be true. We should not be enemies with those who are in covenant relationship. And above that, because there is a distinction, we should not be enemies with those with whom we are in fellowship. Even so, the fact remains that we are counted as enemies by some within the body and without, But we are to show kindness to them both in whatever form that kindness need manifest itself. 1 Corinthians 13:4. We're probably reading much of the same verses we've already heard this week. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity is kind. Love is kind. If we have perfect doctrine, the ability to interpret all prophecy, and speak in tongues and heal the sick and raise the dead, but we do not have love, which is kind, then we are refuse. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This seems to indicate that forgiving one another and tender-heartedness is a symptom of kindness. Holding grudges is not the way we epitomize kindness. Do not forget the words of our Savior. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Are we forgiving those who sin against us? It is a kindness. Go back one verse in Ephesians 4, and we see the antithesis of kindness written. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And when you think of kindness, do any of these things come into your mind as well? Because they shouldn't be related scripturally. David said, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. In the case that this should happen, would there be bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, or malice involved on the part of the righteous? The question answers itself, most certainly not, or it wouldn't be righteous. For kindness is not found in those things. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Put on, as the elect of God, kindness. And do we notice a theme in these verses? Forgive one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so forgive. We do not have the luxury, if it is one, of petty squabbles amongst each other, now or ever. It has always been a plague of the body, likely always will be, but has also always been a detriment to salvation. But now more than ever, we cannot afford to suffer such things. The body of faithful believers is small, brethren, and I fear it continues to shrink. We must show courtesy, kindness to one another, or else we will be so fractured that fellowship will be impossible between those even of like mind. 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5-7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. It is as if God is trying to tell us something with all the repetition found in these verses. Brotherly kindness flows into love. Without kindness, courtesy, there is no love. How about friendliness? Is being friends or friendliness different from courtesy? There are differences, but there are arguably more similarities. Briefly, there are limitations placed on being friends that are not placed on being courteous. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Friendship with the world is compared to adultery and is enmity with God. We cannot be courteous, loving, or kind, and also be friends with the world. All these things we speak of are within spiritual confines, definitions, and parameters. The courtesy, kindness, and love we speak of is only as it relates to Scripture. And if we wander outside those bounds, then it is no longer what God has commanded us. Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is simple common sense. If you wish to be friends with people, then you must be a friendly person. If I were to come here and sit in my cabin all afternoon, or be off by myself somewhere else, or go into town every day, or otherwise seclude myself from the brethren here, I shouldn't be surprised if I don't feel like I'm friends with them. If I am not kind and courteous with the brethren, if I am instead aloof, or if my interaction with my brethren is constantly rough, or I just ignore them mostly, I shouldn't be surprised if I don't feel a friendly bond with them. If I don't feel like I am friends with my brethren, it is probably not them. It is probably me who is the problem. In which case, a change of attitude is in order. Be friendly. One who would like friends must be friendly. Backbiting, tail-bearing, busybody are all things that are not kind, not courteous, not friendly. If you do these things, if you enjoy hearing such things, you are probably not a friendly person. A change may be in order. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Our comments on the righteous smite being a kindness will suffice to cover this reference. But can that smite come from a friend? This verse indicates it can. Would we want it to come from anyone else? Proverbs 27, 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If this is not the effect we have on people, a change may be in order. Let us cover also the subject of self-control. Notice in the definition of the root for the word courtesy, we find rein in or curb. To show courtesy is not according to nature. Selfishness and greed and lust and jealousy, those are according to nature. To show courtesy, then, is to rein in or curb our baser nature and give way to the things of God and the character of our Lord and Master. Galatians 5:23. Very familiar verse here, part of the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. An aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance or self-control. To have self-control allows us to give place to courtesy with our brethren. Where tempers may flare, give place to courtesy. Back to 1 Peter 1 verse 5 again. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Here is the theme again. Notice that temperance and patience both precede brotherly kindness and love. Without true exercise and self-control, we cannot, or at least will have great difficulty in showing brotherly kindness. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul compares himself to a runner or a fighter here. Those athletes train constantly. They rarely take a day off. In doing so, they become the best in the world at what they do. Paul, too, trains daily, but his training is to keep his body, his mind, his fleshly tendencies in subjection to his heavenly Father's will. Titus 1, verses 7 and 8. Titus 1, 7 and 8. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. A bishop, or someone who helps supervise an ecclesia, must be temperate, must have self-control. We could read all of James 3 at this time, but suffice it to say that the tongue is an unruly evil and can bring a man to his ultimate demise. To have self-control and mastery over it is a very difficult thing, but whoever can accomplish it is nigh unto the reward hoped for. To conclude, courtesy is not a thought. It is a mindset. It is an attitude, not a theory. It is not a suggestion or a recommendation. It is a requirement of the body and a command. It is difficult to bring the flesh into subjection that courtesy might give place in our life, might have a place in our life. But it is much easier to show courtesy, particularly to our brethren, than malice. Think of all the problems that are brought back on us when we show malice. This makes the choice between malice and courtesy quite easy, though the flesh begs to differ. Courtesy is not torturous to the one who manifests it. Courtesy is actually quite rewarding. Not only temporally, but also eternally. How do we accomplish this? Proverbs 3:27. We'll make these quick and then we'll close. Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. And for a specific lesson to everyone of any age, back to Titus, this time chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity or love, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and this is to the children and to the parents. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, this was a memory verse for the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, for which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These behaviors are all ways to show courtesy to one another, whether directly or indirectly, to brethren or to God and Christ. Consider whether disobedience to God is courteous or not. Because what is the ultimate way in which we can show courtesy? Our closing reference, John 15, 13 through 15. John 15, 13 through 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call ye not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things which I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you.